Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 2nd, 2015. With me today, John Martellaro. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. Been fighting a cold. I'm a little loopy, but hey, that makes for a great conversation.
Yep. And then that gives us all fair warning, so we know not to drink out of your coffee mug today. Got it. Speaking of drinking out of my coffee mug, Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I would not drink out of your coffee mug because you don't drink coffee. You drink chai, and I don't drink coffee either. I drink delicious sugared flavored iced lattes.
You know, if you had not gone down that path, I actually would have been kind of disappointed. Also, you really, really don't like my chais.
It's true. It's like, you know, Philip milk of magnesia.
I got to get in on this. I'm a green tea drinker. Green tea. It's all I drink. Don't drink coffee. Don't drink chai.
All right. So
green tea.
So we have two non-coffee people and one person who drinks coffee-ish flavored candy, right?
I pull a mean espresso and then I dilute it with milk, ice, and flavored syrups.
All right, so it sounds like a party in your mouth.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, but enough about Brian's drink choices. So, Brian, you laid it out about Amazon yesterday. And where I'm going with this, listeners, is that Amazon announced that any set-top streaming device that does not support Amazon Prime Video is not going to be available for sale through Amazon anymore. And that includes affiliate companies that sell their products through Amazon. So if you are selling Apple TV or Google's Chromecast, you are not going to be able to do that through Amazon.
Well, and you know, the vast majority of Apple TV and Chromecast sales were going through Amazon itself. This isn't really so much an issue with resellers,
right? Yeah, it's an Amazon thing.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's interesting. They're so Roku and Xbox and PlayStation. Of course, the last two are much more than merely set top streaming devices, but all three of those devices will stay on Amazon because they all support Prime Video, but Apple TV and Google Chromecast are out. They're verboten.
I wonder how many people buy their Apple products through Amazon anyway. I was looking the other day to verify that you could buy a 2013 Mac Pro from Amazon. Actually, you can, and some MacBooks. Yeah. And I would feel dirty if I bought a Mac Pro from Amazon. It would just creep me out.
There's a simple answer to this because, you know, Amazon shows the top sold items, and Apple TV was in the top five for electronics.
Mm.
And iPhone is usually near the top for these at Amazon. I mean, Apple products do well at Amazon. There's lots of folks who buy them there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So the big thing to me isn't, well, geez, how many people are really buying stuff at Amazon. It's, wow, looks like Amazon took to heart the free rein they were given by the federal government. Because this sure feels to me like flexing one's monopoly muscles.
Well, this is not comparable at all to the situation with books that I've been on a personal rant about for years now.
And I do agree. Yes, this is not the same.
Well, so, I mean, the Amazon does not have a monopoly in retailing. As big as Amazon is, there are lots of other places to buy things. Apple's own stores, I mean, you know, would just be the beginning. There's Best Buy, there's Target, and there's retailing giant Walmart. Amazon doesn't have monopoly power, let alone monopoly control over selling electronics. And thus it is completely free, I think, both legally and morally, if one cares about such things, to pull whatever it wants to off the shelves.
I do agree.
Well, then why did you just compare it to the other thing?
Well, I wasn't quite done yet.
Oh, okay. Well, sweet.
So now I'll finish. But the points you made are all totally valid, and I agree. No, I don't see this as Amazon actually having a monopoly control over the set-top selling whatever. This is more Amazon has a monopoly control in one market. They have been given essentially a government blessing to flex their monopoly muscles. If they don't feel that they're going to have to deal with any sort of repercussions, then why not extend that to other areas as well? And in this case, use their ability to say, look, we're just not going to sell these products because they don't give what we feel is the best experience people can have. All right, well, that's a perfectly valid reason to do something. But on the other hand, it feels to me like Amazon is doing this because they want their service everywhere, and they want to use this as a way to force it into everywhere.
Brian, do you think Apple might pull its products from Amazon in retribution?
No. No, and nor should it. I mean, I got to back up because I really don't think that the book case and its repercussions have any bearing here. Personally, I mean, I don't think that Apple the Amazon is flexing its muscle because it doesn't have that much muscle in this particular regard. I think instead that Amazon actually has delusions that it's a platform, and I think that it's just that they're delusions. Amazon is not a platform. Prime is not a platform. Bloomberg said that 20%, and it was Bloomberg that reported this story originally. So mm-hmm. Bloomberg said that 20% of Amazon customers are Prime customers. I mean. I get that Amazon wants to promote Prime Video. I think that pulling more popular products off of its shelves to promote Prime Video, I think, is putting the cart way before the horse.
And they phrased it so cleverly, too. It's important that the streaming media players we sell interact with Prime Video in order to avoid customer confusion.
Yeah, that's just
so clever. Yeah, but it is, you know, lawyerese written all over it. It's just plain clever. You know?
And I mean, in the reality, so the thing is this: Amazon likely did this for one of two reasons. Amazon and Google won't let Prime Video onto their platforms, or they actually think they can boost Prime Video sales or even sales of their own Fire TV by pulling off these more popular products. And I don't know who the holdup is on Prime Video not being on Apple TV and Google Chromecast. That said, I don't care about Google Chromecast at all personally. I know there's folks out there who use it. It's a popular device. I'm not really interested in it. I think that Prime Video should be on Apple TV. I think it would behoove Apple TV and Apple for Prime Video to be there. And I don't know why it's not. Is this an Amazon thing or is it an Apple thing? We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know. And I don't see it, if there is a holdup, I don't see it as the Apple getting a 30% cut because your Prime subscription doesn't actually happen through an Apple TV interface.
Yeah, and it wouldn't happen through an Apple TV interface. You just plug just in like credentials, Netflix. Just like Netflix, yeah. You just plug in your credentials.
So there's some other reason why it's not there, and we don't know what that reason is. And and I agree with you, Brian. I think it would be a bonus for Apple. It would be good for Apple to have Amazon Prime Video on Apple TV because it makes it much easier to position Apple TV as the go-to only box that you need for all your streaming content.
Right. And Prime Video is a successful product. And the company's original content, like Transparent, it's doing really well, just like having good programming has done really well for Netflix. Prime Video is not just some also ran. I just don't think it's important enough for a retailer to stop selling popular products. This is just kind of, like I said, delusional on Amazon's part.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think this is going to benefit them in the way they're hoping.
Yeah. Well, I don't, surely no one in the company buys into the language that was used in this letter. Like John said, it was lawyerese. Mm-hmm. It's nonsense. And I don't really know what Amazon thinks it can gain. There's just no way that Amazon was getting complaints about people. It's like, well, I bought my Apple TV from you. How come I can't plug in my Prime Video?
Yeah, I would be shocked if they were getting complaints like that. And considering how many people buy stuff off Amazon, there probably have been a couple people that complained, but a very negligible number.
You know, I have Amazon Prime app on my iPad, and I'm able to watch Amazon Prime video content. So the fact that it's on the iPad but not on the Apple TV makes it even more interesting.
Well, and once the new Apple TV is released and developers can make their own apps, surely it could come at that point.
Sure.
So has Amazon decided not to put Prime Video on Apple TV? I kind of doubt that. They're on, they're on Roku. They're on my TiVo.
Yeah,
they're on Xbox and PlayStation, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem like a logical move. And for Amazon, this isn't about selling hardware. This is about selling their products. Well, and products in general. Everything that Amazon does is geared on some level to draw us deeper into making all of our purchases through them.
Yeah, it's certainly not geared to actually making any money. But that's another issue.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So in that sense, I don't get why Amazon would not want to put an app on Apple TV, because that makes buying into the Amazon ecosystem a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens. I think that Amazon runs the risk of making itself a little bit less desirable as a destination shopping place if it's going to start pulling more popular products.
Well,
based on the notion of promoting its own services.
Brian, let me respond to that. I was thinking about that while you were talking earlier. Amazon is so part of our lives, and it's so important that even if you got annoyed and you thought you were going to boycott Amazon for being persnickety about this, you really can't. I mean, Amazon has so much influence in the marketplace, and we all have, purchased with one click, and we just Amazon's our go-to place. They're so important and they're so powerful that even if you thought you were annoyed by what Amazon did, it's of no consequence, really, because you can't punish the company. You can't take it out on them. You can't boycott them. So they do have this remarkable influence and power. So they can get away with a lot of stuff.
That's not what I mean. What I mean is that when you have... Okay. If Google Chromecast and Apple TV had been unpopular... Pulling it off the shelves is an obvious choice. If they just weren't selling any, not selling them is the smart thing to do. But when they're popular, pulling them off the shelves means that people are going to go to Amazon and they're not going to find this product. So some of those people are going to say to themselves, well, that's funny. I couldn't find this thing at Amazon. Now, some of those will choose to buy a Roku or a Fire TV or maybe just not get anything. But people who went there looking for either one of these products, not finding it, is going to it's going to erode just a little bit that notion that Amazon is the place to go get everything.
Well, we're talking about making money. You know, Amazon has shown over and over again they're willing to lose money in order to attain their strategic goals. So I would think that the money they would lose not selling Apple TV would be a drop in the bucket.
It is a drop in the bucket, and it doesn't matter because they don't make any money, just as you said. But that's not, it's still not my point. My point is eroding their perception of being the go-to place to buy everything.
If you have a technological chip on your shoulder, yeah, you might say, yeah, my regard for Amazon has gone down a notch. But does it really affect the buying patterns of 99% of Americans? I don't think so.
If they can't find what they want, then sure, they start looking elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's so easy. I mean, you know, especially if it's an Apple product. You go to Amazon, you're thinking you get a good price. Oh, it's not there anymore. I don't know what's going on. I can't find it. Maybe I didn't read the article. So you just pop over to the Apple store and you go, oh, yeah, click and buy.
Right, and that's a transaction that didn't go through Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in terms of customer response, as Brian said earlier, there's so many different outlets. You know, run down to your Best Buy and grab one. You know, so it's really no skin off Amazon's nose, market-wise, perception-wise, financially. So why did they go to the trouble of irritating Apple? And I go back to my original idea, you know, you don't piss off Apple and get away with it. There's always some consequence.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what that consequence is. I would love to keep talking about this, but there's another topic that I really wanted to hit today. And that is the whole thing with iFixit. And for those of you that aren't up to speed on this, iFixit was able to get through their own developer account one of the developer kits for the new Apple TV, which by chance you won't be able to buy through Amazon when it comes out this month. So they get this, and then they do exactly what they do with every other product they get a hold of. They tear it down and analyze what's inside and then put it online. All right, well, that in and of itself isn't a problem because we expect this. The problem is they did this with the developer model that they got, which is a pre-release product, and it's a product that's covered under the terms for everything else that Apple gives to developers ahead of an official product release. So what they did was they showed us all the guts of an Apple TV when they weren't supposed to. And so Apple pulled deactivated their developer account, which then meant that the app that they had on the store got pulled because there's no valid developer associated with that app anymore. And now we have a situation where Apple's pissed off at iFixit, and this could have an impact on what Apple does in the future as far as pre-release hardware for developers.
No. I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with Brian on this one. iFixit screwed itself. Apple's not going to change its policies.
Well, this isn't something Apple has done very often. And
it's not something Apple's going to do all that often in the future. This was definitely a special circumstance. So to a large extent, the chances of having ripple effects for other developers is almost none out of the gate. But I don't think it would anyway.
Well, and I'm thinking what Apple will probably do next time around, instead of saying, hey, we'll send you all this hardware, is they'll do what they've done with other products, where they contact a select few developers, bring them out to Cupertino, and work with them on campus. So they'll still give people early access to hardware, but I don't think that they're going to do it on the same scale that they did with this Apple TV.
I think it's much more likely that Apple is going to vet the random lottery recipients. I mean, so Apple bears a little bit of culpability here, right? iFixit had a developer account. Mm-hmm. A lot of journalists, a lot of tech journalists, a lot of bloggers have developer accounts. But the thing is that iFixit stock and trade is doing teardowns and posting videos.
Sure, but they also had to agree to the same terms and conditions.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that iFixit was right to do this. Matter of fact, I think that it was a mistake for iFixit to do this.
Yeah, it was a horrible mistake.
It was, and for a number of reasons. One of the biggest being that it's a pre-production unit. Now, it may be exactly what's going to ship, but it's a bit irresponsible to do a teardown unit on a pre-production unit when that may not be what ships. So there's a certain lack of value in doing that. But at the same time,
I like your idea about vetting. I agree with you, Brian. What did Apple expect?
Yeah, Apple should have had someone looking at the recipients, and then that person should have said, "Huh, we're going to ship one of these to someone whose stock and trade is going to be to tear it down and film it and put it up. Why don't we not do that?" And I think Apple would have been perfectly within its rights to do that because it's spot on,
Brian.
It's stuff.
Well, Apple never said how they were going to select the the developers that were going to get these. And in this case, yeah, it's their game, and they can do as they please. Yeah. So they could have handpicked everyone ahead of time and then waited to see who applied to get one of the developer kits. And or they could have vetted after everything came in, and yet it looks like it was almost a random thing.
Yeah, it does. It was it's probably random. It's how Apple has done like the lotteries for tickets and stuff. We don't know how it happened. I'm just saying that Apple bears a little bit of culpability for having sent it to this particular place in the first place. iFixit made a mistake doing this. I love these guys. The services that they offer are invaluable to the Apple centric community. Their videos are just always they're entertaining, they're interesting, they're informative. They put a lot of information out there, and they give people a lot of tools. I like iFixit. This was a mistake.
I really like iFixit too, and I agree. This was a mistake.
You know, there's a common thread here with this and the Amazon story. Sort of as an armchair ethicist, as we all are, I perceive that in many, many, many cases, most cases, and in the industry, when a company has the power to do something, they will do it. It's almost as if they're compelled to do it. Whenever you have the power, I don't see too many cases, of course, maybe they're not as notable, where a company has the power to do something and they say, no, we're not going to do it, even though we could. And that's something these two cases have in common.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. But the thing that I want to leave everyone with is that regardless of whether or not Apple should have realized that iFixit was going to do something like this, and regardless of whether or not iFixit thought they could get away with it, the bottom line is there is one other developer out there that probably had a really great idea for an app that they could have worked on to have ready for launch day, and they didn't get to do that because iFixit got that unit and then tore it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was uncool. All right, we're out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Indeed.
And John, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, it was great to be in wholehearted agreement with Brian across the board. Love it.
Yeah. I change all of my positions.
Yeah, it's also a rare day when I'm the person that has the contrary opinion to everyone else. But there you go. It was bound to happen eventually. Okay. Thanks to both of you for being here. Listeners, thank you for joining us. And thank you for the feedback you've been giving me on your El Capitan experiences. Keep that feedback coming in. And early next week, we're going to talk about what you've been experiencing with El Capitan. We'll see everyone again on Monday.